we could get as many questions out as possible.
So I can start then?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not Black, and I'm not going to pretend I know the reality of a Black person. I'm not Black. It's not complicated. I think if everybody understood that, things would be way simpler, but people apparently don't. So usually my motto when it comes to, you know, immigration issues, Indigenous issues, Black people, I refer to the people in the party who are Black, and I expect them to share and understand their reality. I try to listen. We have candidates from the Melanated community. I can drop the link for all of our team members if you want to check out a little bit of their profile and what they stand for. All I can say is I grew up in a really diverse place. I think it's not necessarily something I'm proud of because I was exposed to a lot of different cultures, but it's also at the root of it is a situation where we really segregate people in pockets. When you're racialized or you're Black, you can't really get out of the systemic poverty they put you in, and the challenge is added when you're in that situation. So I was really exposed to diversity really young. And so for me, I was like 10 when I realized you just got to listen to what people are saying. It's not complicated. So that's what I would say.
You say thank you. That's a good response. Next, Christina, what's yours?
Could you please just repeat the question? I think I just heard anti-Black. I just want to know the whole thing.
So it's just not a problem. So the question is, what is your experience, training, or education that equips you to deal with anti-Black racism in Quebec?
Yeah, I was an intervention worker and a trainer at the Black Community Association of Côte des Neiges when I was working with a lot of families in the Black community, English speaking community. And I was pertaining to specific, majorly, but not exclusively with the child protection services and a bat show and things like that, where there's a dozen of institutional racism and discrimination. And I've worked in the system, within the systems, and I've developed partnership with non-Black or white, who became really like our allies within the system. And I've worked in giving back Black children to the families and building that cultural partnership with, because we have to live together. We have to have allies both in the white community or non-Black community. So that experience was was definitely a kicker for me. And I'm definitely planning to use that in my political journey and even citizenship journey and as a Black woman in Montreal and in Quebec.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right, Brother Keaton, the floor is yours.
Well, let me just say straight up, I am Black, and I'm from the Caribbean, and I'm considered the historic Anglophone, as far as Legault and the CAC is concerned. So in relation to that, my experiences over the past year has been involved in political ventures in different parties. I've experienced institutional racism over a period of time. I work with a number of different organizations within Montreal, whether it's Black History Month and many others. So I'm aware of a lot of these racist sentiments that people have, even going back to the civil rights, where now today the discussion on how to use the N-word and feeling that because of the civil rights movement, where all that was taken from, where Quebec now claims as part of the history, the nationalists can provide the history. They want to have that freedom to use the N-word as they wish, not recognizing the fact that history they're referring to were accumulated from the civil rights time, where Quebec was going through its own trauma, where we as Blacks coming here, we had to face discrimination from both sides because we know the oppressors and the colonizers were on both sides for us. So we had to deal with both of them at the same time. So we didn't have to go south to learn how we should deal with our situation. We had to deal with it on a day-to-day basis. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So you guys see now when I do this, it's because your minute is up. Okay. So you guys get the cue. We have an alarm that's going off on this side. So I'm not sure if you guys are hearing it, but I'll give you guys your visual cue as well. Alex, the floor is yours.
Perfect. Thank you. Very important question. So myself, I've been a frontline ally of Indigenous and Black communities. I've gone out to support land defenders blocking trains. I've been to the Wet'suwet'en anti-pipeline protests and, stood in solidarity with anti-fracking protests also by Indigenous nations in New Brunswick. Green Party of Quebec has been very outspoken against systemic racism. We've marched on the front lines with Black Lives Matter. We're the only party that's calling to both defund and disarm the police. We want to reduce the budget by 50%. We think that, you know, we always have these politicians that want to invest more and more and more in policing you know, just as a knee-jerk response to any kind of violent thing that happens. Us, we want to invest in communities. We want to defund the police. I'm not from the Black community, but I've lived a little bit of discrimination as an Anglophone here in Quebec, and I don't want to compare that by any means to the racism that many Black people are facing. And, you know, what I hope to achieve as a white person in politics is to use my white privilege to advocate as strongly as possible against racism, against discrimination, against Islamophobia, and all these sort of problems that we have here in Quebec and in Quebec politics. I'd also like to point out that the Green Party of Quebec is running a very diverse slate with 40% of people from visible minorities. We want to influence the debate. We want to build an inclusive Quebec, and we want to fight systemic racism. And you can count on us as frontline allies.
Amazing. Thank you, guys. And some good questions. This one specifically for the Liberal Party. You had mentioned that you're opposed to the Bill 96, but it was brought in by the Liberal Party. So we would like to just get an understanding of what happened there with that.
Yeah, what I'm going to say is it's definitely not a disclaimer. Obviously, I'm new to the party, but from my understanding, the bill was initially to help protect French, because the reality is French in the North American reality is the minority. But the reason why we voted against, it's because the CAQ was taking it way too far, like I said, with putting extremely disrespectful, I don't know what the term is, I'm sorry, laws or paragraphs, with the 6 month for newly arrived immigrants, with the choice of university and CJ. This was not the point that at the start of the bill or the study of the Bill 96. So that was the separation point with the Liberal Party. As far as we are concerned with Bill 96, we thought it was getting way too far out of hands, and it was not really anymore about protecting French, but it was about devising people, the English minority and the French minority in North America, but majority in Quebec. Clauses, thank you so much for Hilal. So yeah, that was the, I don't know if I've answered the question. I like for the person to just follow up if it answered the question, but that is my understanding of what happened with that and why we kind of backtracked from that, because we at the Liberal Party recognize the importance of French. And I do think when I worked as an intervention worker, a lot of English speaking Black families told me that they wanted to learn French. They were interested, but we don't do that by aggressing or by insulting or this is not how we get people interested in speaking or learning French. And this is why the Liberal Party was like, this is not how we want Bill. We wanted Bill 96 to be, or to be as a law or accepted socially. So that's why we backtracked it from that.
Okay, well, thank you. I guess it's hindsight, right? But right now it's done a lot of damage, but okay. Well, we have another question that came from the community, and Queen Kai is gonna ask it.
So this question was particularly for Quebec Solidaire. They're asking, what does Quebec Solidaire bring to the table for Côte de Neige specifically? Mm-hmm. So that would go to you.
Hello.
I'm happy to have that question. We have a video coming up specifically on Côte de Neige between me and our candidate Isabelle Leblanc from Montréal-Outremont on my Facebook page. Just write my name, you'll find it. It should drop at some point this week if you want to check it out. So here's my analysis of the situation with Côte de Neige. Two ridings have Côte de Neige in their territory, mine, Darcy-Mégy, and Montréal-Outremont. If I talk about Darcy-Mégie, I have Côte Saint-Luc, I have Hampstead, and I have a part of Côte de Neige. And if I talk about Montréal-Outremont, they have Outremont, TMR, and a part of Côte de Neige. If anybody's familiar with the geography over there, that means we have two very comfortable and rich parts in the riding, and we have a small pocket of poverty in both of the situations. And that small pocket of poverty is divided between politicians and is never really able to have one reference or one person to count on to defend their interests. We were really aware of this going into the situation because we were perplexed as to why the situation is not getting better there when all the policies are favoring the rest of the people in our riding. And the answer is really simple. It's these lines are drawn in a very political manner. It's not a matter of, c'est pas du hasard. It's like that because people who have power have taken the lines in the direction that favored them. It's not complicated. So me and Isabel, since the beginning of our campaign, are really aware of this, and all the policies we're putting forth and the stuff we're trying to talk about is to specifically target what makes that area constantly poor, beyond the fact that the line divides the ridings, but also the policies that were put in place and the politicians that were there were for a really long time part of the government and had a say in how these policies were put in place, but they never were able to attack the situations in Côte d'Ivoire.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, all right. Another question that came in. I guess in this one could be general for everybody because everybody did mention, you know, inclusivity and healthcare for all, but yet when the mandates were out and people were, the unvaccinated community weren't giving those kind of privileges, where do each one of you all stand when it comes to the unvaccinated community and the mandates?
Should I start again?
Yes, please.
Okay. So it's not complicated. We think that la santé publique, as we call it, is a body of the government that has been underfinanced for years. Their goal is to study populational health and try to propose policies to the government and understand what makes it so that any illness, it could be COVID, really anything, it could be the opioid crisis, how do we target it with intelligent policies? We believe that we have to reinvest in la santé publique. We have $250 million every year in our platform to give that power back to them. And we believe that if they have the proper tools in hand, they can propose neutral and independent policies that really reflect the scientific consensus on what we have to do to protect the populations. And at the end, we saw a lot of like yo-yoing by the santé publique, and everybody was confused as to where their independence lies. And I think there was a loss of confiance, of trust, and that we need to rebuild it by financing it adequately and then having an answer that's clear. Here's what the scientists say about vaccination, about this, about that. At the end, it was not clear what they based their decisions on to confine people once again, to impose this and that. And to me, it's frightening because health is not a matter of politics. It should just be, it's science. That's it. So we need to finance it adequately.
Okay, thank you. Next, Christina.
Yes, thank you so much for the question. I do think that the priority, I wouldn't say that public health was the on the finance department of the government. I believe that the problem was the fact that they were making the head of such an institution part of a government. That's why there was the problem to begin with. So it is really to separate public health from any government and make it a true independent that way, not necessarily by putting more of taxpayers' money into that institution. I do think they're doing not so bad for themselves. I think that will rebuild the trust. And I also believe in individuals' right in freedom. And I do think that people should be informed, and they can make their own decisions. And I do agree that at some part, the Liberal Party were or agreed with the CAC with vaccinations. I do think there's one thing that's not out there. It's the fact that as an opposition, we were not allowed in the room where decisions were made. We were not part of the information that public health were put out there. So we were pretty much like all of you guys as an opposition, which is also a terrible way of governing when you don't want to be questioned, which was the position of the CAC. So we didn't have information. We did not. That's the reality. So that's my take on that.
Okay, thank you. All right, Keaton.
Yes, that's an interesting question. It goes in many different directions, really, because the unvaccinated communities you know, we all have our rights. And when a blanket decision is made, which in the first two are individual rights, it becomes a problem. But when we look at the overall community, the population at large, we need to make sure we have measures in place to protect us all, you know, because we can't just rely on letting it be and letting it go. But specifically, I think we should concentrate more on the healthcare services, where the frontline workers as such, what are the risks? What are the possibilities of them transmitting it to others, their families, their homes? Look at the seniors' risk. The seniors' risk is quite high because when you look at the amount of death that took place in the seniors, quite high. The lack of protection, the lack of care was quite high. Look at the marginalized communities, how they were affected. Because when it comes to healthcare service, when it comes to, you know, the medication that's needed, if one cannot, because economically you're marginalized, economically you cannot handle all these things. Therefore, when the COVID hits you and you're in a situation where, you know, your health is at risk, therefore becomes more problematic for those who need the help and support. So I'm saying that, again, the unvaccinated communities, they have the individual rights, but the rights of all should be respected.
Okay, thank you. Alex?
Yeah, I think with respect to the vaccines and the vaccine passports, that certainly I think that things did go a little bit too far, you know, in terms of the confinement measures and that sort of thing. It was a political decisions to impose these things. I mean, I have a background in science, and I know that scientists can, you know, come up with a variety of policies that they can propose, but it comes down to the politicians to choose what level of risk to the population are we willing to accept. Are we willing to allow people to die because they don't have access to healthcare because it's overrun with COVID patients so that we can protect individual freedoms or not? So there's a balancing act to all of these things. And I think that, you know, one of the problems was that, you know, the government was mismanaging the pandemic. Our hospitals were overrun. They had been underfunded. And, you know, instead of reinvesting in them and really correcting these systemic problems, which, by the way, are not quick to fix, they instead pointed the finger at the unvaccinated people. And they said the unvaccinated people are the reason for all of this, you know. And I think that went a little bit too far. It politicized it. It othered people. And, you know, it is important to get vaccinated. I've been vaccinated four times myself. But we also had these policies imposed at a time when, you know, we thought that people would get two vaccines, they would never catch COVID again, and that this was the quickest way to get out of all these restrictions and all of these problems and everything was to get as many people vaccinated. Now, it turns out that, you know, you'd have to be vaccinated every year, twice per year, you know, so it's a completely different debate that we're having now compared to at the height of the pandemic and in 2021 when these vaccines were coming out. But ultimately, we do need to take care of the most vulnerable people. I don't think anybody enjoyed, you know, seeing all the seniors struggling in the CHSL LDs, you know, dying in huge numbers and everything like that. People were afraid of what was happening. They demanded strong measures, and not everything was perfect, but it is a difficult balancing act.
Thank you, guys. Wow. I think we've done a good one to tap, and we've gotten a good amount of questions that came in too, so that is awesome. So now, as we're wrapping up, I want to give everybody their 2 minutes just to give their final statements, right? Basically, closing arguments, whatever you want to call them. But this is our last push for our community. As you guys know, today is the pre-voting, today and tomorrow, and then next week, October 3rd, is the official voting date. So again, in the same order, I want to give everybody an opportunity to give your closing statements.
All right. So I didn't get to address Bill 96 and Quebec Solidaire's stance on it. I don't think I have time for it, unfortunately, but I think it's very important for people to have access to that information. If anybody listening has questions they want to ask me, I'm fully willing to even just phone you and explain it as well as I can. Everybody should go into voting knowing what they want and what they stand for. I hope this was helpful regardless, and that everybody is going to vote, because we really have a democratic crisis right now in Quebec and everybody needs to go out and vote. I understand usually you might be, you know, disillusioned and all, but right now there's a really large offer of people who are running and have different views. So it's your chance to just go out and make your point heard. So please go vote. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity. What I'll say is division benefits the CAQ. The fact weakening and disengaging the English-speaking minority and the Black minority benefits the CAQ. this is what they want to give, go even further with their agenda. I think we need to stick together. This plethora of offer will divide the vote and benefit the CAC, and they will come back in. And we're going to be even more divided, angry. This is why we, the Liberal Party, humbly ask for you guys to vote and give us a shot again. Because for the past 2 years, we have been literally shut down at the National Assembly, even in the French media, where the CAC pretty much bought the media, okay? So right now, it should be us against the CAC, okay? So go and vote. Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you. I'd like to thank, of course, OFC for this opportunity for us all to be here and represent our beliefs or our parties, and to stand firm on the changes that we believe that should take place. Bloc Montréal is a party, new party, that wants to bring about change within Quebec. Within Quebec, which also represents Montreal, because Montreal, in a sense, Quebec has a fiscal responsibility to Montreal because of a large amount of financial support that Montreal gives to Quebec. Specifically for me, I'm looking at the ethnocultural communities. I'm looking at the political landscape of who we are, and the cultural landscape itself, because it's not about language. Language itself is a distraction. Quebec and the parties have many years of putting together ways that we can all learn and understand French. The system started 1977. The election of the PQ happened in 1976. So we had 45 years. Many people who were born then or came through then, I'm quite sure they've had the opportunity and they understand French fairly well. And also, don't forget that the Quebec government over the years forced or insisted that people coming into Quebec would be French or from French countries. So they're fitting right away 100%. So what I'm saying to you is not about language. It's about who we are as a group of people, the cultural and ethnic cultural community that actually build and work Quebec. Our history denotes that. If we look way back in terms of we as Blacks, we are people, visible minorities, or today, people of color. We have to make sure that our heritage stands, that when it comes to the movement of sovereignty, movement of all cultures on the same level, we are. Who are we? We do matter. Let's make sure to let Keaton Clark, Bloc Montréal, to the National Assembly, so that we can represent Montreal, to make sure that your voices are heard. Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Thank you very much for that, Brother Keaton. And last but very far from least, Alex Tyrell, thank you.
So thank you to OFC for the opportunity to come and debate some of these important issues facing people in this election. At the Green Party of Quebec, we're proposing a bold platform for radical change within Quebec society. We're talking about putting the environment first, making sure people are taken care of, investing in the public healthcare system, investing in education, making sure that people have equal opportunities. And there's so much work that we can do in the National Assembly. The Green Party of Quebec, we're running our 10th general election campaign. We're running 73 candidates across the province. And what's nice about the Green Party of Quebec is that we have the exact same discourse in Montreal and in the regions of Quebec. We're looking to bring everybody together. We're not looking to divide Montreal from the rest of Quebec or Quebec from Canada or anything like that. The Green Party of Quebec wants to unite people around a progressive platform, a platform for bold change in Quebec society, in which everybody has equal chance, in which we can tackle systemic racism. We can overturn Bill 21, overturn Bill 96, make sure that people are living together and that we're taking care of one another. If you want things to change for the environment, if you want more social justice, if you want to defund the police, the Green Party of Quebec is the best party to vote for. We have candidates running everywhere in Montreal. Our goal is to influence the debate, to pull it more to the left, more to the environment, and also to offer a strong, concrete alternative for people in a democratic system which is falling apart, in which many, many people are turning off. Every citizen has the power to change things. Voting is one of the most important ways to express your political point of view. And I really encourage everybody to vote for a party, regardless of who it is. But of course, if you choose to vote for the Green Party, we'd be more than happy and honored to represent you in the National Assembly. Thank you.
Wow. Guys, I want to give you guys a quick round of applause. I want to thank you guys for heeding to the call and for coming out again. We do find here at the Empower Hour and within the OFC that it is really important to create these outlets for the community and to encourage our community to go out and vote. As we already know, a lot of the members from the community don't necessarily see the value, or there's a sense of a disconnection. So we're here to reconnect, you know, and to create that opportunity. So I thank you guys again. Thank you guys for being a part of the Empower Hour this morning. And it's going to rebroadcast, as you guys already know, Thursday morning on CKET 90.3 FM. And thanks for being on our segment called Parley with the People. So again, wishing you guys an amazing day and encouraging our community just to go out and vote.
You know what time it is. This is Kaya's Jambalaya. You know I'm always cooking up something hot. Come on in. Let me feed you, baby.
Ciao. This is Kaya's Jambalaya, and I am just, I gotta tell y'all what's going on. You know, people in the industry are very rude. They're very rude and very nasty. Now, we know that right now, the queen of hip hop is Cardi B.
Okay.
Now, listen, we know that we call these people these different names and stuff like that, but the originators are the originators, and you gotta pay homage, and it just is what it is. But I just feel like the industry is literally picking each other apart for like all the craziest reasons. On that note, Cardi B came out with a new song with Glorilla, and she is one of the upcoming artists that's out right now. And I really feel like what Cardi did was capitalize on Glorilla's new fame, and she pretty much did what a lot of people should have did with Megan Thee Stallion in the beginning and didn't, and she's doing it with Glorilla. So she got a song, and this song is hot, and you can just tell Cardi got some fire behind this thing she's doing. And all the people can focus on is the fact that she didn't write the rap. But if you go to the credits, Cardi B's name is in the writers. So why are people just picking her apart like this? And I said, you know what it is? Cardi is truly a force. And they can get mad if they want to. Cardi always rapped. She always had bars. She always did her thing. And
I could play that back a bit.
She did, because
if you you're gonna ask me who's the queen of rap, I'm gonna tell you Nicki. All right, I'm a Nickiite. I'm about to dye my locks pink. I'm about to do it just to represent.
Your favorite rappers have had help, including Lil Wayne. I'm just saying.
Yes, Drake was a couple years ago. Quentin Miller. He's worked in the bakery in Toronto.
Jay-Z caught his whole style from a whole other rapper.
I have mad love for Cardi. Yes. Don't get me wrong. Like Cardi, like hands down, Cardi be handling the business. I'm just saying, in between the two, like if we bar for bar, I'm always gonna say Nicki is harder than
it's
Cardi.
A big war going on right now between the Barbs and whatever they call them, Cardi's fans and stuff right now.
That's what the problem is. Cardi's fans don't have names. That's what the problem is too. They need names. I'm sorry. Maybe that's what the problem is.
I can't keep up with all the names.
I'm just saying, the Beehive is heavy, and so are the Barbies. And mind you, Nicki, I do need something a little
Isn't
more.
It just Barbs?
I don't know. Yeah, whatever, I don't know, the Barbs.
The Barbies.
Yeah,
the Barbs. It is her Barbies. But
yeah.
She calls them the Barbs.
Okay. Exactly. But I still need something a little more that represents me. But still, at the same time, I'm a fan. So sorry, Kaya, for jumping on your side.
No, listen, it's all good, and I appreciate the feedback because I'm gonna tell you something. Nicki is in trouble.
Wait, before we go to Nicki, Kaya, did you hear about the lawsuit that Cardi won against Tasha K?
About the defamation?
The blogger? Yes.
Yeah, she won.
Yeah, she won. And like the blogger owes her $3 million, and apparently she's garnishing her wages now.
Oh, wow. You work for Cardi.
Yep. Garnishing. See? It's garnishing the wages. Watch what you say and how you say it. Make sure you got facts out there.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not mad at it because a lot of things are being said for being salacious. And I think I heard, I watched one or two of her shows, and she, like, your sources, I'm wondering where your sources are coming from.
Tasha K claims to have some personal experiences with Cardi, though. This was the whole thing, right? In the beginning, she was saying that she was talking about Cardi's hygiene and stuff. Like, they actually, like, stayed in a place together and stuff like that. And, like, they were close. So, I don't know. I was like, wow.
Sorry, I came in there. Mm-hmm.
No. It's all good.
You gonna say Nikki.
Yeah, so Nikki is in hot water right now, as she always is. And I just feel like all of this drama that they're building up around them, they're not paying attention to what's really going on here. Mm. Listen, they're about to get moved out. Mm. I don't think they understand what this is. They allowing them to do all this little drama stuff. They about to beef themselves out the way. Glorilla is coming up. They got a couple other girls. Amaretta the Great. Listen, they're going to have to worry about these young girls right now. And I think that they're giving them the chance to kind of play themselves out. And the reason why I'm speaking about Cardi like this is because I feel like Cardi knows what's about to happen.
Right.
She's playing her game very, very smart. Listen, female rap game is in an uproar right now. Mm. Trina. Did y'all see Trina?
No.
Mm-hmm. Trina has joined WWE Wrestling.
What? Oh, Stop it.
I saw a glimpse of something.
Stop it.
Oh, y'all don't know. Y'all understand what's happening right now.
Well, shoot, Kai, you should jump in there too.
I'm telling you, they're crossing these different worlds, right? They're crossing these lines. And Nikki is missing the mark. Before she just go and find her something to get involved in and put herself out there in a different way and build that. She is messing up because she want to fight. So it looked like they're about to actually have some type of situations going on because they are literally, they saying that Cardi B, they're trying to say that Cardi B is stalking Nicki Minaj right now.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. But
listen, they're doing a lot. They're doing a lot, but the industry has
got Cardi suing people. Y'all watch what she's saying with Cardi. You better come with facts.
Okay. Here it is. I got one last thing because I just got to run through this stuff quick. There's an audio and a song that just came out by the baby that claims that he actually had with Megan Thee Stallion the day before Tory Lanez allegedly shot her.
Okay.
Is that why he shot her?
Ooh.
Is that what we
And did? You know allegedly the baby is both her? Very Excuse little me. Men.
Totally right. Mean. These short guy complexes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Y'all want to hear something?
Can we? She said the Tory Lanez shot. I was fucking on Megan Thee Stallion. Waited to say the shit on my next album. Hit it the day before too. But I kept it play, ain't say nothing about it. Had a pretty boyfriend treating me ready to die by the bitch like a cow. I told you niggas don't play. Oh, baby, that sounds that you said you made it seem like it was like allegedly. That's pretty straightforward. He's like, I had sex with her the day before.
But it's still allegedly. Like that's still hearsay.
Right. Okay.
You still got to use the words allegedly.
You can get charged for your lyrics right now.
Allegedly. Like he blatantly said that. Like what do you mean?
He said that, but it's alleged.
He said he did.
I didn't hear Meg corroborate the story.
Okay, I get it.
Child. Listen, that's me. That's my segment. I hope you guys enjoy the talk with the political parties. This show was definitely dedicated to that because the people need to be educated in it, and it's going to help us make more concise decisions. And I want to just give a quick shout out to our co-host, Tammy T. Today is her birthday. So we want to say that we love you, queen, and shout out to the queen of Montreal's, and we ain't playing, we're gonna say Canada's entertainment scene when it comes to local news. Word. And what's popping and what's not.
Keep it 100.
Happy birthday, Tam.
Word.
Happy birthday.
Pop Montreal and CKT presents Nigerian born future soul artist Wayne Snow with guest Tess Robin, Hua Lee, and DJ set by Gayance, Friday, September the 30th at 8 p.m. at Outdoor Venue on 777 in the Mile End. Tickets on sale now at popmontreal.com. This is a CKT co-presentation.
Le 3 octobre, ce sera jour d'élection générale au Québec. Pour savoir où voter et pour connaître la liste des candidats qui se présentent dans votre circonscription, consultez la carte de rappel jaune que vous avez reçue par la poste ou visitez notre site web. Pour voter, vous devrez présenter une pièce d'identité. Les bureaux de vote seront ouverts de 9h30 à 20h. Pour plus d'informations, consultez le www.élections.québec ou communiquez avec nous au 1-888-ÉLECTION. Le 3 octobre, on inverse la tendance. Tout le monde vote. Un message d'Élections Québec.
What it do, y'all? It is your homegirl, Tammy. You already know I'm not a pastor, but y'all gonna get the word today.
What it do, Empower Hour listeners? It is your homegirl, Tammy Tuesdays. As usual, I got so much to say, but child, I got so little time, okay? Before we get into it, I just want to say the cold has landed, okay? Has arrived, has entered the building. Fall is officially here. Listen, make sure y'all are dressing warmer. Make sure that the kids are dressing warmer as well. I don't know, but I feel like this winter is going to hit hard because already this wind and the fall cold is just really, I don't know. For me, it's just already too much. I'm not trying to leave my house. So don't nobody invite me nowhere, okay? Because the cold is here and child, I hibernate, okay? So anyways, just wanted to get that out the way. Okay, so you know what? We're going to start by talking about, again, the rise in violence in Montreal continues, right? There was a 16-year-old that was stabbed, a 14-year-old that was stabbed, both outside of their high schools. You know, it's really sad to see. And the crazy thing is that these young black teenage boys, right, don't want to collaborate with the police. And I understand them. And keep in mind, the police have literally saved my life twice. I'm very thankful to the police officers that helped me. But the reality is, not all police officers are the same. Not all police officers give a shit. Not all police officers, right, are willing to help melanated individuals, even those that maybe, you know, have taken the wrong route. So unfortunately, the melanated community, we have lost faith and trust in the police. And that's why even when a child that is 14 years old, a child that is 16 years old, that was stabbed, right? He don't want to even talk with the police, even at a young age, because we don't trust the police no more, right? Because of everything that has been going on. So as the rise in violence continues, I do hope that, you know, the Montreal police are going to get it together, right? And start actually coming out and doing some groundwork, right? And you know what? When we talk about doing groundwork, we're also talking about, you know what? Y'all are going to need some melanated and some ethnic officers on your task force, right? Y'all are going to need, okay, to have different ethnicities as police officers. And y'all are going to need to make sure that they are able to be within their own community as well. Because that's the only way that trust is going to get built. Unfortunately, that's what it is. You know what? I don't want to say that, you know, a white person cannot gain our trust. Of course, a white person could come and gain our trust. But child, it's going to take a whole long time before we get there, right? In the meantime, while we are working on, you know what I mean, us trusting the police is working on gaining our trust, there's still violence that's happening. A 38-year-old mother, her 5-year-old child and her 2-year-old child were killed. It is a suspected homicide in Longueuil. Y'all, I don't know what is going on. Listen, for me, you know what? I'm not trying to say that there is a life that is worth more than another life, but you have to be a different type of sick individual, right, to kill a child. Okay, I'm gonna just say that. So the rise in violence continues, y'all. Just make sure I always say it. Love on your family members, on your friends, right? Make sure that you give them their flowers while they are here. Make sure that you stay alert on your surroundings. You know what I mean? And yeah, you know what? We just have to keep praying for better days, right? Speaking of better days, Newfoundland got hit by Hurricane Fiona. Normally, we don't really be getting hit by hurricanes. So, you know, again, global warming, etc. I know that there was one casualty, a woman, and her body has still not been found. You know, again, we have to love on our people today because we do not know what is going to happen tomorrow, right? Like, it's just, this is the world we live in. Speaking about the world that we live in, y'all, I'm not understanding something about this Artemis, okay? Another failed launch. Child, we are in 2022. How are we unable to launch and get to the moon when apparently, okay, July 20th, 1969 was the first time humans set foot on the moon? But now,
They gonna tell us, NASA gonna tell us that they cannot get it to work? We are in 2022, y'all, and we are unable to launch and get to the moon. So I don't know about y'all, but I'm just kind of thinking that, you know what, maybe we didn't really go to the moon, okay? Like, listen, y'all know I like to deep dive into these conspiracy theories, okay? This is one that honestly, I think that we should all be doing some deep diving in because it doesn't make any sense. Technology has advanced so much since 1969, and they're going to tell us that it's like they can't get it to work. I don't know. Something's off, y'all. And if they lied about that, which brings me to my point of the story, is that if they lied about going to the moon on July 20th, 1969, what else are they lying about? What else could they be lying about today in 2022? That's why I always say, you have to think objectively. You have to think critically. You have to think analytically. You have to take the facts, look at it, analyze it, and then come to your own conclusion. You cannot blindly trust the government. You cannot blindly trust anyone, matter of fact, especially not the government, okay? Because y'all, if y'all tell me that this makes sense to y'all, listen, I'm gonna have to question y'all on that, okay? Like, I'm gonna have to question y'all's sanity on that because it doesn't make any sense, okay? I'm gonna end this segment by saying, do not forget, election time is coming up, y'all, in a couple of days, okay? October 3rd. Make sure you go out and vote. I know my ancestor died, right? For my right to vote. So I have always voted. I know that some people don't want to vote, and that's fine. You know what? I'm not going to knock y'all on it. I believe in live and let live. But just remember, if you are melanated, your ancestors literally died for you to be able to vote. Make sure that you go and vote. Even if you want to annul your vote, do that. Do that. But at least make the effort and go out and vote. You know, as I've been saying, Legault gotta go, okay? He is literally a cavity in society. Personally, I will be voting Éric Duhaime, conservatives. I know that it's not the popular, right, thing for melanated people to do, to vote conservative. Usually, our parents have always voted liberal. They've always encouraged us to vote liberals. However, what have liberals done for us? Nothing. Nothing. Okay. And for all the Anglophones listening, I know that Dominika Anglade is trying hard to cater to the Anglophone community. She's trying hard to keep screaming that, oh, she voted against Bill 96. But what she fails to mention in each and every sentence where she mentions that is that she amended Bill 96. She amended it for François Legault. Okay. Dominika Anglade, I'm going to say it again to make sure y'all understand it. Dominika Anglade, right? Liberal, okay? Amended Bill 96, y'all. And then when she seen Anglophones, we weren't having it, she decided to vote against it. So you know what, sis? As I always say, you cannot play both sides, okay? You can't do that. You cannot try to fool us and think that we are dumb. We're Anglophone. We're not dumb. Okay. So you can't play both sides. So again, I encourage everyone to, you know, just go vote, go watch Les Débats des Chefs, to just go get more information about who's doing what their, you know, their policies are about. But for me, you know, being a melanated woman, being an Anglophone woman, being an unvaccinated woman, the only logical choice is conservatives right now, which is Éric Duhaime, okay? But again, go and do your research and just make sure that you vote, right? It is part of our democracy, and it's an important part of democracy, right? So anyways, y'all, listen, stay blessed. I'm sending y'all love and light, and I am going to catch y'all next week. Peace.
Hey everybody, I'm Gina the Great, aka Miss Politically Correct, aka The Devil's Advocate, aka Big Lyran Energy, and this is Ungrind My Gears, a segment where we keep it light, keep it bright, and share some fun facts and some jokey jokes. Okay, good people, usually this is Ungrind My Gears, and I usually have a black fact for you, but we did have a special show today that deserved the time that it took.
Yep.
So this is going to be a little abbreviated version, and I'm not going to necessarily come and bring the nice little fluff and fun, because I definitely wanted to mention something that's going on currently in Iran. So a 22-year-old woman was
detained because apparently she didn't wear her hijab properly and had some hair showing. And so while they assured her family that they were just going to detain her and put her through and this is the morality police of Iran, and what they ended up actually doing was beating her to death. And so currently at this very moment, there is an uprise going on in Tehran, Iran, where women have gathered together and have hit the streets, removing their hijabs, and, you know, really protesting against what happened to this young woman that was entirely outrageous. This should
be a global protest. I think women all over.
This is why. And the thing is that last I heard, from, and this is through LinkedIn too, I seen a woman who posted that the government was blocking the internet. Mm-hmm. And so it's up to us who are seeing these things, hearing these things, to share that information and make it a global protest and make this a global issue. This is not a religious issue. This is a human rights issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, the person who posted it that caught my eye, she was saying, you know, Iran was there for, you know, the Black Lives Matters. Iran was there for anything that was human rights related. Mm-hmm. And it's time for us, and I say us as human beings, to be there for them as well.
Well said.
So that's what I wanted to mention from there. And right before I get into the T-mail, aligned with how we have our show, we spoke to a few political parties. Not all of them were there. And we want you to go out and vote and make an educated vote as well as knowing how those votes affect you locally as well as nationally. So if you go to newsinteractives.cbc.ca, with a bunch of slashes, so feature 2022 Quebec party platforms, you'll be able to see how each and every party, what their stances are on all the different subject matters.
Okay.
So go through that. I know that today you can vote early, tomorrow you can vote early, but take the time to go through that. If you are undecided or if you want to make sure, double check your choice on what you want to do and who aligns with you best. When I did it for federally, I literally had an org chart in terms of like how I rated what I rated for what people said, because even in today's not debate, but in Meet the Candidates, whereas certain parties I was just like, yeah, I'm with you, they said certain things, I was like, no, I'm not.
Right, exactly. Like, yeah, no, yeah, sure.
Other parties was just like, I ain't with you, is like, oh well, you made a point there. And so that really made me need to take a step back and really go point for point for point on what works for me.
I like that. And what we can do is also reshare the link on the Empower Hour on our Facebook page and on our Instagram, so you guys can check that out. So on that note, do you guys know who you want to vote for?
No. I mean, yes and no. Okay. I know who I want to go in with, and now I'm gonna go do the research to have a better educated, not guess, but an educated decision.
Right, Kaya, you?
I usually don't vote.
Okay.
Yes.
No. But you're gonna vote this year.
No, she's keeping it 100.
I want to tell you,
all
of these parties, for me, do what they have to do in order to get the vote, and then we are left in the dark.
And they use us as doormats after.
Our concerns are not being met by any of the parties.
Good point.
None of our needs are being met. And I hate that when they first start talking, they start talking about, we got money and housing and all this stuff, but yet Montreal has one of the highest homeless rates. Like, who y'all talking to? Who do y'all really think that y'all know? So I have, for me, my grandmother used to say all the time, she used to go and vote. She's like, and I'm only doing this because I don't want anybody to ever say that I don't do it, but it doesn't help. Our problems is deeper than this. So I don't vote. And, you know,
the lesser of evil, though.
Because we always go with the lesser of the four or five evils, but we still never get what we need. And those are my concerns. I feel like they say what they have to say, but these parties are not there. These parties are put together like a lot of different organizations to be able to get some dough and live every day.
Empower.
You know what I'm saying? The connections to certain people. This is like how I feel about the church. It's a thing. You know what I'm saying? They create these buildings and put these people in there and have them say this stuff to make us feel like incited and feel like, oh yeah, this, and it's not helping us. It's not doing nothing.
Maybe we need a new party called the Anarchy. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is, because anarchy is it's the takedown of government. Because,
we got a takedown of government, but also having some educated beings that can tell us what we're really supposed to be doing out here. And this is not what they're doing. They are telling us, oh, this is what we can do for you, because it makes us feel like, oh my gosh, they're trying to help, but they're not. Show us what we're supposed to be doing, how we fix this, bring us into the parties. Everything that they doing is hush hush, and I don't like it. So I don't know if I'm going to be voting, and if I am, I need more information. This is, even for me, is not enough.
I like
who
it.
You voting for, P?
That's conservative. Fair. I'm voting conservative just because I very plainly, when it came down to the discrimination against the unvaccinated community, a lot of people know and don't know, but like the amount of support that the ORFC had to offer to people who are unvaccinated, because there was no support from any other organizations or government, it was crazy. And I can't sit back and let that happen again. So that's literally the only reason, because I'm very much in your in I stand where you're coming from, Kaya, because I think it's just, it's always the lesser of two evils. And I did have a very bad taste in my mouth when it came to the fact that we brought in the CAC, because I remember we used the same argument at the time. It was like, oh, we do not want, you know, we didn't want the liberals to continue to be in power because they were completely disrespecting us. So the next best thing was the CAC. And clearly it was not. We lost 10 times with that one. So the idea of just voting for, you know, the lesser two evils is not always, you know, doesn't always pan out for us. But in this case, because of the fact that they are against the discrimination agenda, they have my vote for this year.
I feel
and
you.
I'm going to roll the dice.
I feel you. This is like, this almost reminds me of the Trump-Biden situation. Mm-hmm. Like, get Trump out with swap black dog for monkey.
Yeah.
So well, what I think what really happens is that these parties, they make these promises. We'd be like, yeah, that's my party right there. They get in, and then the powers that be say, okay, good. So we found out who won. Now let's go over there and stifle them.
Yeah,
let's go over there
push
and
our agenda.
Change their agenda and tell the people, hey, yeah, that's what we thought we were going to be able to do, but the government has come in and they said that we cannot do these things anymore. I'm so sorry. When they take the money and stick it in their pockets, I mean, I'm not happy.
No, well said. And you know, and one of the candidates had mentioned, and Gina DeForest was after that, was just that, you know, like, you know, it's important to know what each individual candidate stands for and stuff like that. I think that's all well and good, but I have not seen one candidate be able to function outside of their party's wishes. And then I haven't seen not one party be able to function beyond the powers that be. So, you know, it's like there's a hierarchy and a chain of command that, let's be real.
That there's that part, of course. And there's also the idea of who has majority to make votes matter.
Right.
And that's why they're saying, like, you got to look locally, because locally that person is your representation in that room of a majority or minority. So, you know, if it's all divided and everyone's a minority, hey, that might even be the best situation that we're in,
because
then, like, the CAC wouldn't have all the power that they have, you know. It's the same thing that happened federally when the other party joined with Trudeau, because Trudeau had a minority all this time, that's why he went for a revote.
Yeah.
And then, what was the other party?
The NDP?
Yeah, when the NDP joined them, like, now you messed it up for everybody.
Yeah,
now you basically said, I'm going to vote however you vote, and now it's in the majority. So that's, we still have to look at that, because at the end of the day, until we defund the government, you still have to have a say at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, and we got to know what we're doing, too. You know, we got to know what we're doing.
100%. So, what's the T-mail today? Is it too good to be true? I'm having second thoughts about a business deal. Everything is lining up great. The paperwork is solid. The deal is great. I've worked very hard for this opportunity, and I'm prepared for all that is to come from it. My issue is that although everything is great, I keep getting a gut feeling that I should walk away. Am I getting cold feet? Or am I getting some kind of spiritual guidance? How would you navigate that situation? How would you navigate a situation like this?
Oh, so that's different. And I appreciate you guys for this one. I've been getting a lot of relationship ones, so this is good. It's a different perspective here. Well, my two cents is to go with the gut. That's my two cents on it. Because our intuition will speak to us before, like, outside of our logic, outside of our mind. Sometimes even outside of our hearts and emotions, our intuition is telling us something. So if something is just not feeling right in the tummy, that's what I go with.
Kaya?
I think that maybe she needs to do, or the person needs to do, some meditating. And just reground yourself. Maybe fast a day and then meditate a little bit on it more. Sometimes what we think are these gut feelings and our feeling like, it's a little bit of anxiety, something. And sometimes, you know, the devil is always busy. So I'm just going to bring it to you because it's a good Sunday. But the devil is always busy. Mm-hmm. And he would love to deter you from your dreams.
Talk about it.
He would love to see you sit around and be mediocre. You said the plan is great. The business is great. Everything is great. But you, personally, you're having this feeling. And I feel like sometimes we just be being attacked by outside forces that make us feel like, you know, we can't prosper. We can't get we can't go forward. But if you push past that, the truth is that, say she goes with the person goes with the business. You go with the business and it fails. But then that's a learning experience. Go back. You try again. Maybe you actually succeed the next time. But I don't think abandoning the business is the right idea. I think that you need to reevaluate, reassess, but don't abandon it. It came to you for a reason. You know, so beware of the outside forces that deter you from your dreams.
Yeah, so I'd say twofold, because I completely agree, especially when something comes to you, and especially the person who's bringing it to you is a really good salesperson, and like it sounds too good to be true. You know, I've been caught in a MLM a time or too many, right? And it's like, you're going to get that car and blah, 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 blah. No, I just had disgusting product just expiring in my in my cupboards. So I get that too. But I also think that you can be proactive and get your contracts right.
Right.
So, you know, if you, one, evaluate who you're getting into business in, right? And ensure that you really trust them, get into their background, figure that out. And that might help, you know, alleviate some issues. But if your gut is always going to tell you something, and it may not be abandon the whole business as a whole, but it's like, go read back those contracts, go look at the fine lines, go bring it to your own lawyer. Don't just take the contract that was given to you to be signed from the other party. Take that to your own lawyer, take that and make sure that you're protected and you're good to go to the point where you're comfortable. And if you get to that point, full steam ahead. If not, reevaluate.
And something I use, something that I use often in my transactions is the power of intention. So in anything I'm doing, a huge project I'm working on right now, I've done that. And since I've put out the intention, the project went completely left, funny enough. But I'm here for that, because in any circumstance. So listener, as you're going through it and you're getting that gut feeling, just make it your intention. My intention is to do the best thing for myself in this particular circumstance. When you take the time to do that, now you're trusting that the spirit has heard you and is going to do. So whatever it is now. So whether it be you move forward with it or you leave it alone, know that that's what you were supposed to do, and that's what it's supposed to be is going to be. Little kind of unpack on ties. Unfortunately, we do have people in this community that do get cold feet, and at times it's a little bad-mindedness, and it's something I want to just throw out there. I got to throw it out, because sometimes the deals would be creating, and if the deal is just too good to be true, and you're like, well, it seems like you're going to make too much money on this deal, so I'm no longer down. And I've seen this happen, and it's unfortunate, because a lot of missed opportunities just because a certain bad-mindedness comes out. So just be careful that's not what's happening, that you're not looking at that next person like, yo, you know what? I think this deal is too good for you. You're going to make too much money on this deal. I'm not going to make as much as I thought I would, and that's it, and that's why you're killing it. So just be mindful that's not the case, because I've seen it, and I've heard it way too many times. All right.
Well, I'd like to thank our special guests and our listeners for this special episode, and thanks to the awesome people at CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, the Caribbean Curry House, and our amazing teams. Shout out to Shiata, Andrew, and Teresa. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time. What's going on? Do you have any shout outs, any upcoming events? Nope, I'm going to Shiata, because Shiata has a little something to mention.
Yes, I do. I have Westcan. So, yes, as Gina said, hi. Shiata. So Westcan has our children's program starting up in October, and we're looking for registration. So if you know of any children, might be your own children, your nieces, your nephews, as they're starting school, they're involved, they need some extracurricular activities that can stimulate them, get them involved in a group where they get to work and meet with other children that look like them. That's very important. That. That's one of the our strongholds that we have at WestCan, and we really like to use that as an opportunity for children to get creative and learn something new, something that makes them stand out. I mean, our children are already stand out as is, right? Because they're so smart and talented. But when they have this extra little skill, extra knowledge about self, and I think that just helps them to stand out just that much more, hold their heads up higher, and walk like a woman king.
Yes! Yes!
Man king, whatever you name it, he or she. Yes. But yeah, so please contact us. We're looking for children between the ages of 2 to 12 years of age. Oh. Our program runs on Sundays from October, and we end in May with a huge recital. We have a very, very lovely program this year that we're putting together with the children. So you can call us at 514-641-9149, and we can send you the registration link. You can check out our website at westcanfolk.com, see what we've been up to, follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, and yeah.
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.